$100.
All right. Well, actually, I appreciate your call. That's exactly what we'll do because we're almost out of time. We will adjourn it to the third hour. I'm going to maintain our arrangement with our guest, Joshua Kors, and talk about the Nation article on a nasty practice of the Pentagon victimizing America's service personnel who are severely wounded in Iraq and Afghanistan. As much as our government, and particularly this current administration, prattles on endlessly about what we owe our brave servicemen and women, when you hear how they've chosen to treat some of these brave servicemen and women in terms of future benefits after they have been, in some cases, severely wounded, well, you may want to have a bucket nearby because it may induce reverse peristalsis. And we'll do that in our next hour. Joshua Kors will join us, the author of the article in The Nation. And then in our final hour, we will use Rich's question about whether we in the media should have run the tape of the rambling dissertation of the shooter in Virginia as we open our third and final hour. Stay with us. This is KGO, San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland. Hello again. Welcome to the second hour of the Gene Burns Program, 808. Again, let me remind you, Rich has raised a very important question at the end of the last hour. Should we in the media, radio and television particularly, be broadcasting, as we are, segments of the rambling manifesto left behind, mailed to NBC News, by Cho Sung Hui, the shooter in the Virginia Tech case? I disagree with Rich completely. I think we should be running it, and we should be running it for lots of compelling reasons. Rich vehemently disagrees with that, so as Rich himself suggested, he leaves us with that question to open the next hour. We have a guest in this hour of the program, and I will tell you frankly, he emailed me the article, which is the cover story in The Nation magazine, in the current issue, a couple of weeks ago, and I could not believe it when I read it. I actually kept waiting for the other shoe to drop. I kept thinking there must be somebody from the Pentagon will give some kind of a reason. I might agree with it or not agree with it, but at least they'll have some kind of a reason for doing what they're doing here, because in effect what they're doing is denying wounded Iraq and Afghan vets an opportunity to get the benefits that we are constantly talking we provide for them, making a mockery of this. We honor the men and women who fight for us in these engagements. Joshua Kors is an investigative reporter who did this story, and we'll talk with Joshua just ahead. He joins us on the KGO Newsline from New York City, and I warn you to fasten your safety belt and have a bucket nearby. You're going to be outraged when you hear the details of this story, and you'll hear those details just ahead on KGO. KGO time now is 8:13 on the Gene Burns program. Joshua Kors is a contributor to The Nation magazine and the author of the cover article in the current issue on the story we are discussing tonight. He has a master's degree from the Columbia School of Journalism, has worked in the past with the Contra Costa Times and the Spectrum in southern Utah, and a radio station right here in San Francisco. He joins us on the KGO Newsline from New York. Josh, welcome to the program.
Good to be with you, Gene.
Nice to have you with us. Give us the thumbnail sketch, since you wrote the piece and you're the expert, of what's happening here.
Sure. Well, the soldier you see on the cover is Specialist John Town. He was struck by a rocket in Ramadi, Iraq, and left largely deaf because of that explosion. The Army recognized his wounds with a Purple Heart, but when it came time to discharge him, the Army decided that his deafness actually came from a pre-existing personality disorder. And discharging him through the personality disorder mechanism, they were able to cheat him out of disability and medical benefits for the rest of his life.
And this, I take it from what you write in the Nation article, is not an uncommon phenomenon.
No. In fact, in the past 6 years, the military has discharged 22,500 soldiers under this personality disorder mechanism, cheating those veterans out of their benefits will save the military $12.5 billion over the course of those soldiers' lifetimes. That's $8 billion in disability pay and $4.5 billion in medical care.
You know, at the risk of sounding like I'm singing Guantanamera, I'm a simple man here, and so it seems to me the essence of simplicity to say that if this young trooper suffered from a personality disorder which caused his deafness, some of his deafness would have been exhibited before he went to Iraq and the rocket went off. And if that's not the case, what kind of a case does the military have doing what they've done?
Well, it's strange because you're exactly right. The system as set up is designed to prevent these false diagnoses. Soldiers are actually screened twice before serving in Iraq, once when they join the Army and a second time before deploying. In all of the cases I looked at in my 6 months investigating this discharge system, in every single case, the medical records the Army provides shows these soldiers were perfectly healthy before serving. It's only when they come back wounded and seek benefits that the pre-existing condition is discovered.
What is your best assessment after doing the research that led to your writing this article in the current issue of The Nation, Joshua? Is this the military seeing what it can get away with? In other words, if a trooper knows enough about the system and has the feistiness to fight and appeal such a decision, I would expect it might likely cause the military to lose the battle. But are they just gambling that enough of them won't to make it worth their while?
Well, it's a touch more complicated because even those soldiers who want to fight don't always have the resources. In fact, every single soldier I spoke to said they were directly lied to by their doctors. The doctors were telling them that if you accept the personality disorder discharge, you'll get your benefits, you'll get care from the VA, you'll get disability pay. It's only on their final hours in uniform that they find out none of those promises are true. And in fact, to put that in a touch clear perspective, there's a final fine print note to the personality disorder discharge that really is the salt in the wounds. These soldiers have to give back their signing bonus so that on their last day on base, so many of these wounded veterans find out they actually owe the Army several thousand dollars.
So what you're saying is that young men and women who volunteer for the military service, fight in combat, these are people who have fought in Iraq or Afghanistan, are wounded in combat, come back for some initial treatment, and then are given the type of discharge that, in fact, takes away their medical benefits for the rest of their life.
That's right. And the number and type of wounds that they're throwing into this personality disorder category really, really runs the limit of imagination. As I said, Specialist Town, his deafness was seen as a personality disorder. I think of Richard Dykstra. He came back from Iraq with severe stomach pains. They thought that was caused by a personality disorder. He thought it came from a bilateral hernia he suffered while in combat.
Right.
You have cases like William Wooldridge, who after accidentally running over a young girl in his Humvee in Iraq, she was pushed into the road in front of him. He started to become haunted by her ghost, suffered schizophrenic-type delusions of a young mangled girl coming to his Arkansas apartment asking why he had killed her. They decided those schizophrenic delusions were caused by a pre-existing personality disorder.
We're talking with Joshua Kors. You can see what I meant when I said this will just, it just makes your skin crawl. You just be careful because you might be moved to smash the vase that's on the table there or something. I get so angry when I read the story, and now that I hear it, Josh, encapsulating it for us, that our government would, and this appears to be a deliberate move to save money. We'll get to that in just a moment. Joshua Kors, investigative journalist. It's the cover article in the current issue of The Nation. You can read it online if you don't subscribe. John Daly, who produces this program, has already hyperlinked my program summaries page on the KGO website, KGO.com, to the article so that you're able to go read it and get the details. And we will talk more about it just ahead here on KGO. KGO time is 8:23 on the Gene Burns program. We are talking with investigative journalist Joshua Kors. He has the cover article in the current issue of The Nation on a practice of the United States military that has, frankly, to be blunt, robbed over 22,000 American servicemen wounded on active duty of their medical benefits. And they do it by this little device of alleging their condition is caused by a pre-existing personality disorder. Joshua, I confess that as I read the article, I kept waiting for the other shoe to drop. I kept waiting for you to quote the Undersecretary of the Pentagon for Paperclips or something, who would give us some plausible explanation for how this could happen. And as you know, since you wrote the article, there is no such thing in the article. How are they getting away with this without a member of Congress or the National VFW or American Legion or somebody screaming to high heaven that they're cheating these men and women?
Those in the high upper offices of the military know about this and have been very aggressive in trying to cover it up. The acting Surgeon General, Gail Pollack, was briefed on Specialist Towne's case, the soldier on the cover of my article, along with a stack of others. And they gave it a five-month, quote-unquote, thorough review, as she says in her memo to me, and decided that all of those cases were properly diagnosed. I got a memo from Lieutenant Colonel Bob Tallman that went even further, said they had reviewed all the cases from the last 4 years at Fort Carson, where Specialist Towne served, and decided all of those diagnoses were correct. But with a touch more reporting, I found out that their complete and thorough five-month review didn't include contacting a single soldier. What they did do was went back to the military doctors who made the original false diagnoses and asked them if they got it right the first time. The doctors said yep, and they considered that a thorough review. And I should add, Gene, if you want to get the black comedy of this, I called Lieutenant Colonel Bob Tallman and asked him exactly how their review could be considered thorough if they didn't interview a single soldier. And he said to me, well, I really don't think it can, and I'll go you one further. I didn't write this memo, and I have no knowledge of its contents. He told me who in the Surgeon General's office did write the memo, and I have been unable to get her to call me back.
Now, you know, I suppose any doctor could assert that the mumps is caused by chewing Juicy Fruit gum, but that will not stand up to careful assessment by any fair-minded person, let alone a professional. Isn't there some way that independent authorities can review these cases, particularly in the case of the man featured on the cover, where clearly his injuries arise out of the blast of this rocket that went off next to his head, to give lie to the diagnosis?
Well, to get it reversed is a very difficult process. As one of the veterans advocates who's been fighting this fight for several years now told me, it's like a scarlet letter these wounded veterans just can't scrub off. In the case of William Waldridge, I mentioned, was suffering from schizophrenic delusions. He was able to get the Army Discharge Review Board to void his original diagnoses. But for others, this second war, as the soldiers have come to call it, comes too late. I think of the case of Chris Mosier. He watched several of his friends burn to death in front of him in Iraq, came back, like Waldridge, suffering from schizophrenic-type delusions. They gave him this false diagnosis of a pre-existing personality disorder and discharged him back to Iowa within about 5 days. There, he put a note on the door saying the Iraqis were after him in Iowa and he had to protect the family, then shot himself.
Well, in which case, I know it's a little intemperate, but in which case the United States military murdered him. I mean, this is just outrageous. We're talking with Joshua Kors, who wrote the cover article in the current issue of The Nation. If you want to access it quickly, you can go to the KGO website, kgo.com, go to my program summary page. John Daly has hyperlinked that page to the article, and you can read it. And we'll continue our conversation with Joshua. We'd invite you to join us as well if you have comments on the matter we're discussing. You may have some personal experiences. If you do, we'd like to hear them, and we'll do that ahead here on KGO. KGO time now is 8:33 on the Gene Burns program. 8080810. You're welcome to join our discussion. We're talking with Joshua Kors, who in the cover article in the current issue of The Nation magazine has written a story, a horrifying story of how we are deliberately cheating wounded veterans of Iraq and Afghanistan out of their medical care for the future by noting that their wounds arise out of a personality disorder. Even in cases where the wounds are clearly traceable and attributable to incidents which occurred while they were on duty in the military, and we are talking about that. Joshua, I'm wondering, particularly now that the article's out and on the cover of The Nation, whether any political, like a senator or a congressman or any organization like the American Legion or the VFW or others have taken an interest in it and might be able to provide some pressure from the outside to change this policy.
Well, there have been veterans groups who've been pushing for change in this area. I mean, this has been a crisis for the veterans community the last 2 years or so. I think of Veterans for America in D.C. and the Iraq War Veterans Organization. But their change has not really come. It's been a fruitless effort at this point. I would be totally hopeless, except on Monday, there was one note of hope. I was speaking with Representative Bob Filner, the chairman of the House Committee on Veterans Affairs. He seemed quite interested in trying to solve this problem. Everyone now is pushing for congressional testimony so that these wounded veterans can tell their story on camera directly to the American people. And he seemed to be genuinely interested in that. Of course, that was just Monday. We'll see where that goes.
Yeah, I can't imagine if this testimony is taken in open session, as it would be, that alone would not galvanize a response from the American people.
Well, you know, we'll see. Right now, there has been a response from the American people. You type in specialist town in the Internet, and Google hits are over 4.5 million.
Really?
But the onus, I think, is on President Bush to respond at this point.
Right.
He went to Walter Reed and said, we're going to be there for the troops. But he hasn't even acknowledged this scandal.
And this is particularly distressing when you add this that you write about in the current issue of The Nation with the Walter Reed story, with all of this pietistic stuff we hear from him and other members of the political class about how we value the sacrifice of our men and women and honor them and complete the task and all of that. We're cheating them out of their medical benefits.
That's the case.
Yeah. Joshua Kors, go ahead.
No, you asked before, how can they justify this? I think the only way they can do that is by flat out admitting that the system is broken.
Mm-hmm.
The only claim they can make is that the first two screenings these soldiers receive are so poor that it's only the third screening that comes after service that somehow is the correct one. It's a baffling position they're in, and I just don't think they have a proper way to justify it.
Yeah, well, it's certainly better than admitting they're doing it to save money, which won't play very well in Peoria, will it?
Well, no, and in fact, it's not just money. That's an interesting feature that I discovered a few months into my research. The doctors have a keen interest in misdiagnosing these soldiers because their hospitals are simply overrun.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody expected the war to go on this long or to produce these many wounded soldiers. And if they can diagnose a personality disorder, they can discharge a soldier within a few days. If they diagnose them as properly wounded because of combat, they have to go to a medical board. That takes about 5 months.
Right.
When they can usher one soldier out the door, that frees up a bed for the three or four soldiers who are waiting. And there's one more aspect to that that I think your listeners will find particularly chilling. The diagnosis system is being polluted by political pressure. I spoke with lawyers on several bases who told me that the commanders at their base are putting pressure on the doctors to purposely misdiagnose the soldiers. One of them told me he knew this was happening because the commanders had come to him and confessed to doing it.
Yeah. It's just chilling to hear it. Joshua Kors is our guest. He's an investigative journalist, contributor to The Nation magazine, the author of the cover article in the current issue. It's hyperlinked to my program summary on the KGO website, KGO.com. That's probably the quickest way to get to it. And let's talk about it with you at 808-0810, just ahead. KGO time now is 8:44 on the Gene Burns program. Let's take some calls with our guest, Joshua Kors. Randy, on a cell phone on I-5, you're on KGO with our guest.
How are you doing? Thank you very much for your program.
Sure.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak out and share our views with you.
Okay, great.
Question is, in the research that you did you find that these 20,000-plus soldiers were of any particular social economic class of people?
No, I can't say that I did. This phenomenon spreads from bases across the country, people of all types.
Would that be also true, Joshua, of rank? In other words, is it just does it isolate on any particular rank in the military?
No, it really doesn't, and that's part of the absurdity of the diagnosis. A personality disorder is a condition so severe that these soldiers shouldn't have been able to serve from the very first day. But in many cases, we have wounded soldiers being discharged with high security clearances who served for many years. In John's case, he served for 7 years and won 12 medals
right
before they determined he was too ill to ever serve.
Yeah, it's amazing. Randy?
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
No, thank you. We appreciate your call. Rich in Sonoma, you're on KGO with our guest.
Yeah, just a question. I was told by a friend of mine, who I kind of believe, he told me that the soldiers over there were not getting combat pay because the war was over, and so they were no longer considered being in combat. And I'm wondering if he knows if this is true. The guest knows if this is true or not.
You know, I haven't a clue. Do you know anything about that, Joshua?
I haven't heard about that, Gene.
No, I haven't either. Of course, I don't know how one could determine when the war ended, since it was never declared by Congress. I know the president declared it over rather quickly after it began, but I can't imagine, if fighting is going on and people are continuing to die, that the military would have the temerity and the gall to suggest that the war had ended, although they appear to have the gall to cheat 22,000 service men and women out of their just medical benefits.
Yeah, I mean, they've been all kinds of other strange things. I really hate to believe this, but
yeah,
he seemed pretty well convinced because he said he knows two guys personally who come back and said, no, this is not happening.
And they were in the theater of operations in Iraq or Afghanistan.
They were in Iraq, yes.
All right. Well, all right. Rich, I appreciate your call. I'll ask John Daly to make a note of it, and we will make an inquiry through a member of Congress and get an answer for you. So listen up. In the next few days, we'll see if we can get the answer and get back to you with it. Margie in San Jose, you're on KGO with our guest.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a friend, and I'm very concerned about him. He's homeless. And the situation is he went into the military. He does have a Purple Heart. Got out, and he is epileptic. He's had 5 seizures since I've known him in the past 8 months. And there is no help for him. He has been fighting and fighting to try and get benefits, and there's no help. So I don't know, where do you start from here? Because I just listened to the program.
Yeah.
Where do you start from here and follow the trail to find out how to get help?
Well, it's a good question. Josh, maybe we should, what is the standard? You volunteer for the military, you get posted to Iraq or Afghanistan, you're wounded in action and you come home, or maybe you're not wounded in action and you come home. What kind of benefits do we say we will give these service people?
It's a good question. The soldiers who've been wounded in war are supposed to get disability pay for the rest of their life, and they're also supposed to get medical care. The VA is required to treat those soldiers who are wounded because of their military service, because these soldiers had been classified as ill before joining the Army, they don't have to pay them a dime.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have to ever treat them at the VA.
Yeah. Margie, let me ask you, if this person to whom you refer has a Purple Heart, if I know the military, that means they were wounded, right?
Oh, yes.
Okay, and did this...
He was shot.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. He was shot, and he has... he does get medical attention when he has a seizure, and he does get prescriptions if he feels them.
Well, what is he not getting then?
He is not getting anybody to listen to him that the seizures began after he was shot. They're saying it's on, you know, he went in and he had the problem.
It sort of sounds, it almost fits the definition Joshua was writing about in The Nation. Joshua, do you know of an organization that Margie and her friend could contact to sort of help them in this area?
Yes. Well, the Iraq War Veterans is a good organization, Veterans for America. And also Paul Rykoff in New York City has a very strong organization, the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. He's helping soldiers like John.
Okay. And I would assume all of these one would find if one Googled them?
Absolutely. The IAVA has a website, iava.org. And the other ones do too, veteransforamerica.org. They're very accessible through the website.
Yeah.
The question is, what can they do for these soldiers?
Right.
So far, their efforts have received limited success.
Now, well, Margie, I'd suggest you start there, helping your friend by contacting those organizations in his behalf and explaining his dilemma and asking if they can be of help. And I would also suggest that you call the local office of your member of Congress. That's what local offices are for. And tell them you're a constituent and you're interceding in behalf of a veteran who is not getting the benefits to which he's entitled, and ask them to be of assistance. And if they choose to get involved, it makes a big difference when a member of Congress's staff calls these offices as opposed to just an ordinary Joe. And I appreciate your call, and we'll continue our conversation with Joshua Kors. His article is the cover article in the current issue of The Nation. If you get it, you have it. If not, go to the Gene Burns program summaries page at KGO.com for today's date, and you'll find a hyperlink to The Nation article. You can read it, and then I hope you'll be moved to email your member of Congress, or if you happen to have a relationship with a member of Congress, put them wise to the fact that this is going on and that at the very least they should take a serious look at it. Maybe you can do them the favor of emailing them the article from The Nation so they can read it, or someone on their staff can. 800-810-810, the telephone number. More conversation ahead on KGO. KGO time is 8:56 on the Gene Burns program. This hour we've been talking with Joshua Kors, a freelance journalist. He's a contributor to The Nation. His cover article tells a horrifying tale of our cheating over 22,000 veterans of Iraq and Afghanistan of their benefits by misdiagnosing them with personality disorders that predated their service. I think we have time for one more call. Mark in Martinez, you're on KGO with our guest.
Hi, Gene.
Hi.
Three things I wanted to say. Writing to your congressman is also excellent. One of the other things that people don't realize is that, you know, the veteran has to go to the hospitals or the VA clinics and with their DD 214 register as a patient, and also there is help statewide in every state. It's called the Veteran Service Officer, and that is in every county. Every county has a Veteran Service Officer, and all you have to do is go there. Also, like the gentleman was talking about, you know, the disabled veterans and other organizations like that. I work for the VA, and I know where I work. We really go out of our way to try to take care of the, especially the Iraqi.
Well, I'm really glad you called, Mark, because I remembered the veteran service officer in every county, and I was a little unsure of myself. I didn't know whether I remembered it from a previous place I worked or whether it was true here. So if you look in the, are
every
they listed
county
in the government pages?
of the county.
Of the county, look for the Veteran Service Officer.
Yeah. And they are there to represent all veterans in this state to the VA.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I appreciate your call. Margie, check the Veteran Service Officer. I think Margie was calling from San Jose, so that'd be Santa Clara County. Check there, and maybe they can be of help to you as well. Joshua, thank you very much for putting me wise to the article and joining us tonight to talk about it. Where do you think, what's the most important thing people listening who are outraged at this mistreatment of our servicemen and women, what's the most important thing they can do?
I don't think congressional hearings are going to happen unless the audience pressures their representatives to do something. Right now, going to your representative does not yield significant success. In John's case, he went to Representative Michael Oxley, who went to the Pentagon. The Pentagon subsequently called him and gave him an ultimatum, said, we'll forgive the money you owe us because of giving back your signing bonus if you simply forget about getting your diagnosis ever corrected.
Yeah, we call that bribery where I come from. But
that's the kind of response that Congress has been giving. The tune there won't change unless there's enough public pressure to do it.
Okay, so what people need to do is to email their member of Congress and their member of the House and their senator. What's the name of the chair of the Veterans Committee of the House?
Bob Filner.
Filner?
F-I-L-N-E-R. He's a representative outside of San Diego.
Okay, terrific. So email your congressperson, your House rep, and Filner, and ask that hearings be held on the issue. Joshua, thanks for joining us.
Good to be with you, Chief.
Appreciate it. Joshua Kors, freelance journalist. The article is the cover article in the current issue of The Nation. It's infuriating that we would be cheating the very men and women who are going off to war and being wounded of their medical benefits. This is KGO San Francisco.